Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and we're going to have a new recording today, and I'm thankful that you've chosen to listen in and study God's Word with us. And today we're going to go into a new study, the letter K, which is, what is it, study number 11 in our ABCs of Christian Growth, and we're going to study the subject of knowledge. You say there are lots of topics that we could talk about in the scriptures concerning the letter K, probably. But knowledge is one thing that you say, well, does the Bible talk about knowledge? Well, sure it does. It talks about all kinds of knowledge. The Lord is omniscient. He's all knowledge. He knows everything. And knowledge is something that should be very important to a Christian. And you should have some wisdom and know what the Bible says about knowledge. You say, well, what could it possibly talk about? Well, it could talk about lots of things. The definition of knowledge, I looked that up, and some of these big old words too big for me anyway. But it's basically says the psychological result of perception and of learning and of reasoning. And you put all these things together, the things that we perceive and the things that we learn and the things that we reason about, our knowledge. And the Lord has he created us in his image. He created Adam in his image. We're created after our mom and daddy's image, but he created man in his image. And Adam was a smart man. You got to figure how smart Adam was and Eve were. They had no knowledge of sin whatsoever. They were created right from the hand of the Lord and placed in an innocent state in the garden to serve the Lord and to fellowship with him. And he, I mean, you just think about this. Every kind of animal that's on the earth, Adam named. Now, how long would it take you to figure out names for every animal on the earth if none of them had a name and what to call them? Knowledge. It's factual information that a person knows. Now, we're going to find out that knowledge goes beyond even facts. Knowledge goes into negative things also. And is there such thing as knowledge that we should not know? You see, and we're going to go into these things and talk about these things and just see what the Lord's Word says about it. And find some things out about what the Bible says about knowledge. Now, there's a lot of opinions about what knowledge is nowadays. This is being called the information age. You've probably heard that, that we're living in. And just when you think you know something, it changes and becomes something different. And something new is discovered, you know. And have you ever heard that? I mean, you see new all over the place. Look, this is new. This is new. This is new. What's new? New knowledge. Knowledge about something. We found something new out. Science is pretty bad about that. I mean, they're coming up with something new. We got something new. And this is the information age. And I got some statistics on how information has, knowledge has increased and how fast it's duplicating itself. And it was mind-blowing. I'll get it for you sometime through this study and try to remember to share that with you about how fast knowledge is duplicating itself now that we have all this computer stuff and all these things. It's incredible. It's just mind-blowing. But, is that okay with God? I mean, if we're finding out more knowledge and knowledge is increasing and knowledge is doubling and tripling and quadrupling and doing all these whoop-a-dooples and whatever, but it's increasing to the point to in order for it to increase, that means that prior to increasing, it had to be less. So the Lord started Adam out And see, man is teaching that man and evolution and all this stuff is teaching that man is getting better and 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 better. And he's going to end up at his best. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that man started out at his best. And he's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And he's dying. Now, which one's true? Okay, well, you know which one's true if you believe the Bible. And if you look in the mirror every now and then. But the Bible says in the last days, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." Now, what is a book? A book is a whole bunch of knowledge gathered together and put down on paper and pencil. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge shall be increased. The Lord is right, isn't he? I mean, if you're in my generation, it is incredible from the time I was a boy in my early years, and say in my very early teens, to right now, the things that people are finding out, and that I mean, you can find anything you want to find out. Used to, you had to hunt through books and books and books, and it took you time to find things out. Now, all you got to do is just push a button. It pops right up in front of you. And, you know, knowledge. But it says that it will increase, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Now, with so much knowledge available, it makes you wonder what's important to know and what's important to not know. Well, in this study, our goal is going to be to find out what the Bible says about knowledge, good and bad. Has there ever been a time that you've known something that it probably would have been better that you didn't know? That's knowledge, you see. So knowledge is not always a good thing, you see. And has there ever been a time in your life to where you didn't know something when you should have? You see, so this thing, the Lord tells us to whatsoever we do, do heartily as unto the Lord, and for us to know things, and the thing that the Lord holds us responsible for is what we know. If you know about Jesus Christ, and you die without having accepted Him as your Savior and believing on His name, then God will put you in hell for what? Because you refused the knowledge. You refused the knowledge of His Word. The Lord gave you the knowledge, gave you the information, and you chose what to do with it. And there's a lot of people living in the world today that think they're not going to be responsible for the knowledge that they knew. The Bible says that they are without excuse. The Bible even says that nature itself doth teach us. And we're going to get into that into this study. Knowledge. Knowledge is a very important thing. And it's something that we should work on in our lives on purpose. The things that we know and the things that we should not know. And it's just as important to make sure that you don't know things and have information on things. See, the world thinks, and science is teaching, and all these intelligent people out there are teaching, that the more you know, the better off you are. Is that true? It ain't been true in my life. Because I could probably chalk up several things that I shouldn't have known about. And let me ask you about your memory. Is there anything in your memory you wish that you had never knew that keeps reminding you of? All that is knowledge. You see? So we're going to get into this thing, and a lot of people don't even you think of knowledge, you think, well, smart people. People have been to college and PhDs and this and that and the other, real educated and real smart people. But knowledge affects everybody. And in this study, we're going to go over it, both the good and the bad. Now, what is worth knowing and what is not worth knowing? Surely there's been times in your life you said, if I had only knew, or I wish I had never known, I wish I'd never even knew. You ever said that? Well, since God is omniscient, omni meaning all, and shunt science meaning knowledge, he's all knowledge, then that means that his instructions in his word, being his word is truth, sanctify them through thy word is truth, then that means that his instructions in his word would be the truth about what kind of look we ought to, what kind of look that we ought to have and take toward knowledge. Now let's take a look at his word and see what the Lord says. All right, the first thing that we want to talk about considering knowledge, or category that we want to talk about, is what different kinds of knowledge does the Bible show? I mean, when you're reading your Bible, has it ever come to your... it's something that just doesn't pop out to you when you're reading your Bible. You say, oh, that's knowledge. That's that kind of knowledge. It's just something that you don't think about, or at least I never thought about until I got on this study of knowledge and started searching the scriptures about it. But what different kinds of knowledge does the Bible show to us? Well, let's look at some scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, the Bible says, now learn a parable of the fig tree, the Lord talking. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know, K-N-O-W, ye know, knowledge, that summer is nigh. Well, according to the Bible, there's some kind of knowledge. Jesus said that ye know. What do you know? That summer is nigh. How do you know it? Well, by looking at the branches and the tender branches that are coming out and the leaves that are coming out. So what is that telling us? That there's such thing as natural knowledge in the Bible. Jesus said that you know these things. And this is called natural knowledge. You know it by looking at nature. Nature itself doth teach us, the Bible says. So there's such thing as natural knowledge in the Bible. Okay, another one. There's another kind of knowledge. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew, K-N-E-W, they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Of course, we know that's Adam and Eve and the time in the garden there went on there. But there's another kind of knowledge that the Bible tells us about there, and it's called a sinful knowledge. A sinful knowledge. You see what happened? And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And in another place it says that they were ashamed. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Sinful knowledge, you see. They knew. They knew. Okay, let's look at another one. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, in Exodus chapter 36, verse 1, the Bible says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know, K-N-O-W, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Well, there's another kind of knowledge, the Bible says. And it says it comes from the Lord, and that the Lord puts wisdom and understanding in somebody. And why? What's the purpose for it? To know how to work. Work what? All manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. So we see another kind of knowledge there. What kind of knowledge is that? Well, it's in Exodus chapter 33, it's practical knowledge. It's knowledge where we practice things. The Lord gives us knowledge to be able to work and to do. The Bible says that God, the Holy Ghost, gives us gifts after we're saved. Gives us all gifts to be able to perform things and to do things and to bear fruit. It's practical knowledge. It's knowledge that we practice and things of that nature. Another kind of knowledge the Bible shares with us. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph." Now we know that what went on there, that was later on after Joseph had been pretty high up in the executive branch in Egypt. And there rose up another king in Egypt, and he didn't have the knowledge that the king prior to him had of Joseph and know about Joseph and know about his person. In Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that there is such thing as friendly knowledge. Friendly knowledge. You see, that first king knew Joseph and respected him and put him up in high ranks and position because he trusted him. It was friendly knowledge. But this new king, he didn't know anything about him. He didn't have much knowledge concerning Joseph in that manner. So there's such thing as friendly knowledge in the Bible. I didn't know there's so many different kinds of knowledge. Did you? But even more. Let's look at another one. In John chapter 7, verse 14 through 30, the Bible says this. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth, K-N-O-W-E-T-H, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know," K-N-O-W, "know of the doctrine." Now, what is doctrine? That's what we're studying. We're studying the ABCs of doctrine, but we're learning doctrine, Bible doctrine. And what is doctrine? Well, it's very simple. Doctrine is what is and what is not. What we should believe and what we should not believe. And it is our final authority. Why do you believe what you believe is your doctrine, you see. So we're reading here and it says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent me, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. Notice this word know keeps coming up in here. Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. John 7:14-30. Now, what kind of knowledge is that that the Bible's talking about there? Well, we would call that intellectual knowledge. There's intellectual knowledge, knowing things, your intellect. That's what Jesus was talking about there. They were saying that they didn't know things, and he says that you do know them. And he says, here's how you know them. And he says, here's how you don't know these things. Intelligent knowledge, you see. And that's in John chapter 7. Now, another knowledge that we are looking at, or that's in the Scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. Notice the word know. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what we read right there, verse 12 through 16, that describes for us spiritual knowledge, knowing the things of the kingdom of God, the spiritual things that the Holy Ghost teaches us. There's spiritual knowledge. And notice that the Scriptures there told us that the natural man, an unsaved man, or the man that is the man that is born of woman, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why not? Because they are spiritually discerned. You understand them through spiritual things. And that's how the Bible teaches us to walk after we've been born again. It says, Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The natural man, you see. Okay, there's that kind of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Now let's look at another one. And I think we did Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Excuse me, don't mean to hold you up there. Here's another kind of knowledge. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What kind of knowledge do we have here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse... I got my notes mixed up here. That's why I'm stuttering here. We have what we call deceptive knowledge. Deceptive knowledge. Another kind of knowledge that the Bible talks about is in Joshua chapter 24, verse 31. And it says, And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord, that he had done for Israel. Okay, what kind of knowledge do we have there? It mentions the word of, it's talking about all the elders and everybody that outlived Joshua and the ones that knew or had known all the works of the Lord. What kind of knowledge do we have there in Joshua? Well, it's called personal knowledge. Personal knowledge. You see, all these men, all these elders that outlived Joshua, they had learned all the things and seen all the things of the past that the Lord had done. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua when he was in charge, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. They were personally there. It was personal knowledge. They knew it because they were personally there and they personally experienced it and seen it. It was personal, personal knowledge. Another kind of knowledge that the Bible talks about is in Exodus chapter 14. It shows us some knowledge in there. It says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." That's in Exodus chapter 14. There's another kind of knowledge there. What's it called? Well, we could call that experimental knowledge. Experimental knowledge. The Lord says, I'm going to get honor off of him. And Pharaoh, he's going to do this anyway. And he said, "I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and the Egyptians, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." That I am the Lord. Experimental knowledge. Another kind of knowledge that the Bible describes. It doesn't exactly give it the title of these things that we're talking about, natural and deceptive knowledge and sinful knowledge and personal knowledge and practical knowledge, experimental knowledge, and the kind of knowledge that we're talking about. It doesn't say these things, but it sure does show it to us that there's all kinds of different knowledge in the Scriptures. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house." Now, this is something that one of David's associates came and told him and give him some information about something. And David replies and he said, "I knew it that day." He said, the day that went on, he said, "I knew it. I knew in my heart." You ever said that? You ever said that? Where something's going on and when it actually happens or turns out like it does, you say, "I knew that was going to happen." Well, that's a certain kind of knowledge. You know what kind of knowledge that is? That's intuitive knowledge. That's intuition. Intuitive knowledge. You say, "I knew that was going to happen." And that's what David's saying here. "And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house." You see, David showed us some intuitive knowledge in the Scriptures. Another one that has to do with knowledge, another kind of knowledge. We're talking about what different kinds of knowledge does the Bible show us. Now, if it's in the Scriptures, it's true. And the Scriptures are perfect and they're pure. And the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We can trust God's word and what it teaches us. And some things the word of God teaches us directly. Some things the word of God teaches us indirectly. You see, God the Holy Ghost is a wonderful teacher. He can teach any way He wants to teach. And if you have any experience with Him, you already know that. That He could teach you, He'd teach you some things out of anything. There's another kind of knowledge in the Scriptures found in John chapter 17. And that, you know what John chapter 17 is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ talking to His Father before He goes to the cross and He prays. Let's read that thing. Let's read that in John 17. Let me read that to you. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may be glorified, may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Showing His deity there. "I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known," there's the word known, "now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me. For they are Thine, and all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thy own name those who Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." That's encouraging. That's what the Lord said, that once He saves us, we're never going to be lost. The Lord said He won't never lose us. No man can take us out of His hand. "And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition." We know who that was, Judas Iscariot. "That the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but," here's the part for you, well, all of it's for you, but in particular here, this is what Jesus is saying in His prayer. Jesus prayed for you specifically, listen to this, "that they all may be one," or "neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." And the word was passed all the way down. Somebody got saved, told somebody else. Somebody got saved, told somebody else. Somebody got saved, told somebody else. And somebody got saved and told you. And you got saved. You see? And the Lord said, "But I don't just pray for these alone right here that are with Me, Lord, or Father, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." He's praying for you there. "That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Talking about knowledge, this is the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer in John chapter 17. And there's many places in there where he prayed for you specifically, prayed for us. And you can be encouraged by that prayer, because the Lord was very serious about what he did. And it's not been any, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did was on purpose. And it was, every part of it was on purpose and an effect and effectual, having to do with your salvation and your preservation, and it just every part of salvation all the way till we look him in the eyes. And the Lord prayed for you right there. But talking about knowledge, what kind of knowledge would that be? Well, that would be saving knowledge, wouldn't it? That would be saving knowledge. That's what the Lord talked about right there. He said, the hour's come. I'm fixing to make the sacrifice. And he said, I've kept these that you give me, and I've taught them, and they're going to teach others. And no man's going to take them out of my hand, and nobody's going to be able to get them. I'm going to save them for all eternity. And he says, I'm not of the world, and I'm neither in the world anymore. But and then he prayed for the Father to keep us. And he prayed even that we could be with him where he is. Saving knowledge. And the Lord had it written down. God the Holy Ghost authored it and put it down there so that we could read it and know what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us. And it's just as valid today as it was the day it was written. There's one more that we need to look at in Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. The Bible says this, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. There's a certain kind of knowledge in there. Did you catch that? Let me read it one more time. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. I bet you guessed that kind of knowledge right there, right off the bat, didn't you? It's called revealed knowledge. You see, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And Jesus is describing this kind of knowledge right here. He says all things, all kinds of, all the knowledge that we're talking about, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. There's revealing knowledge in the Scriptures. We've been talking about what different kinds of knowledge does the Bible show us. Many, many, many. And I'm sure there's just so many more different kinds of knowledge in there. But these were kind of a preliminary, just a beginning of going into the study of knowledge to show you that the Scriptures indeed talk about knowledge. And not in a direct way, sometimes in a direct way, that the Lord's talking about knowledge and knowing things and having the knowledge of things. But most of the time we're learning it in an indirect way about what the Bible is saying about knowledge, you see. And that's what we're going to get into, or what we've already gotten into, and what we're going to continue to study Today we've talked about what different kinds of knowledge does the Bible show us. Well, it shows us natural knowledge. It shows us deceptive knowledge. It shows us, see how many of these, when I read these off, see how many of these that you personally can associate yourself with. Natural knowledge, of course. Deceptive knowledge. Sinful knowledge. Personal knowledge. And none of them are the same, are they? How about practical knowledge? Surely you know how to do some things, practice things and do things. How about experimental knowledge? Friendly knowledge? Intuitive knowledge? Intellectual knowledge? Saving knowledge? Have you ever told your children, get out of that street? Quit playing in the street. Quit playing in the road. Or the Lord's saving knowledge that He gives us. Spiritual knowledge. Revealed knowledge, you see. Many, many, many. And these are just the beginning of it. And we're going to go over some more. But just wanted to get your mindset and set in this subject of knowledge in the letter K. And the ABCs of Christian growth here. We're going to, in the future, as we move along in this study, we're going to talk about where does the Bible teach knowledge begins? Oh, knowledge has got to begin somewhere. What's the source of knowledge? Where does it come from? That's one thing man has been searching for a long time. Billions and billions and billions and billions of years ago. Is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches? And then we're going to talk about, what should a Christian's attitude be toward knowledge? Because that's why we're studying, is to find out what saith the Lord. Is it important how our attitude is toward knowledge? Of course it is. We're going to talk about some things our Lord Jesus Christ has knowledge of. And we're also going to talk about how do the Scriptures describe the attitude of sinful men toward knowledge. What do sinners, I'm not talking we're all sinners, but some of us are unsaved sinners and some of us are saved sinners. You see what I mean? But men that have don't want to have anything to do with the Lord or with spiritual matters and think that it's foolishness. How do the Scriptures describe the attitude of sinful men toward knowledge? What do they think about knowledge? Now I want to remind you of something. When we're learning this, we're not learning this to find out anything having to do with how the world operates and how ungodly men and ungodly women that don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. We're not interested in what they think. We're going to go over it right here just a little bit and what their attitude toward knowledge is. But when we're talking about knowledge, we're talking about godly knowledge. We're talking about knowledge that the Scriptures teach. Remember what we're learning out of. We're learning out of the Scriptures. And the Bible's not going to teach us how to be ungodly. It's going to give us knowledge that is right and true, you see. So that's the kind of knowledge that we're going to be studying. But we will be talking about sinful men and their attitude toward knowledge also and learn about that. Now, what is the value of knowledge that the Word of God teaches? Does it matter what you know? Does it matter what you do not know? Does it affect the outcome in your life? Does knowledge have any effect on the result of things that happen in your life? And see, you're probably already answering these questions. And you probably even got some examples that have popped up in your mind concerning this. So you see, knowledge is something that it's kind of talked about on the back burner unless you're an educated man. And I'm not against education. I'm against education that becomes a god over the God of gods, the I Am God, the Jehovah God, and Jesus Christ, his son. It becomes an idol. It becomes a matter of worship. And it becomes wicked. Knowledge, having much knowledge is like having much money. It comes with a matter of discipline and suffering in order to use it right, you see, and not worship it. Okay, so there we go. We're going to talk about them things. We've talked about this today, and I enjoyed it, and I hope that it's broadened your interest in this matter of knowledge and what the Bible says. The letter K, let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? Okay, beginning, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, or 3, verse 7, excuse me, Exodus chapter 36, verse 1, Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, John chapter 7, verse 14 through 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 31. Exodus chapter 14, verse 4 and 18. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 22. And the whole chapter of John, chapter 17, that's the Lord's Prayer that we read. And the final verse for today's program or recording is Luke, chapter 10, verse 22. And there you go. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today. I'm sorry about my reading skills today. Sometimes I'm a little sharper than others, but as you get to know me, that won't mean much to you anymore. You just say his brain is showing its age. So I hope that you have a blessed day. And brothers and sisters, don't underestimate how important it is to study God's Word, and don't underestimate the value of it. The Lord always rewards you for honoring His Word. And sometimes God's Word is like eating honey and a hot roll, man. Just the best bread you ever ate, and just a warm piece of bread and honey, and just, it's so sweet and it's so beautiful. And just, you could just stuff a whole loaf in your mouth, you know. But sometimes it's like holding a rope and a jackass sitting in the middle of a field, and you're trying to get, and he's sitting down, and you're trying to get him out of the field, and you're pulling, 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 and it just, it's like trying to pull him out of there. You see? And sometimes the word comes at you like that. You have to labor and labor and labor and labor, but that's not a negative thing about laboring. That is a thing that the Holy Ghost teaches us and tests us to see how much we love God's Word and how devoted we are to it. You know, expect that. Expect it. And it's all wonderful, and it's all good, and it's all profitable. You can't accidentally read God's Word and study God's Word. You have to do it on purpose. On purpose. And with purpose. There was a man, or one of my mentors that the Lord put in my life to teach me the things of God. And, you write down things that you hear, truths that you hear from people and that you respect. And one of the things that, I keep in mind is that he said, what you learn is largely determined by what you want to find out. Isn't that tremendous? It's absolute truth, too. What you learn is largely determined by what you want to find out. If you don't want to learn it, you're not going to find out. You're not going to find things out, you see. So, well, we're not on that lesson. We're on the lesson of K. So the Lord be with you. And again, I thank you for studying God's Word. The Lord appreciates you and is smiling upon you learning His Word. Go over those scriptures now and talk to you on the next program. Bye-bye.